So, a rabbi comes to town. A powerful rabbi. He's got like his little pack of disciples with him. And they're doing everything they can to keep up with him. Because they've devoted their lives to doing what their rabbi does. So if you're a disciple, by the end of the day with your rabbi traveling on these hot, dusty, dirty roads, you've got whatever your rabbi stepped in just caked all over the front of you. And so this saying developed among the wise men and the sages that you would say to a disciple, you'd say, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." This is a scene that everybody had seen this. They knew exactly what it meant to be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Now, all of this, to me, has huge implications for Jesus and how we understand Jesus, because most rabbis would begin their teaching around the age of 30. And in the Bible, around the age of 30, we have Jesus walking down the shore along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across Peter and Andrew, and they're fishermen, and Jesus says to them, "Come, follow me." Well, if they're fishermen, and Jesus calls them to be his disciples, then they're not following another rabbi. And if they're not following another rabbi, they're not the best of the best. They didn't make the cut. And the text continues. It says that at once they dropped their nets and followed him, which I've always thought is a bit strange. I mean, it's odd, isn't it, that they just drop them and go. And I don't. Some of those Christian movies don't help, do they? I mean, it's like Jesus comes down the beach and he's in this white bathrobe and he has this light blue beauty pageant sash on, you know, and his hair is blow dried and he's Swedish, and he calls the disciples and they're kind of these robots. They kind of come around and go after him. If you understand it, like in its original context, it starts to make perfect sense. I mean, rabbis were the most honored, respected, revered people anywhere. I mean, the best of the best of the best are the only ones who got to be rabbis. And this rabbi comes down the beach and says to you, "Come follow me." Well, what's he really saying? What he's really saying is, "I think you could do what I do." And he's saying, "You can be like me. Of course you drop your nets and follow him." And then the text even continues. It says that he comes across James and John, and they're fishing with their father Zebedee. Now, if they're fishing with their father, what are they? They're apprentices. They're learning the family business. And if he calls them to be his disciples, and they're not the disciples of some other rabbi. So, James and John, they're not good enough. They didn't make the cut either. They aren't the best of the best. And how old are they? 15? 16? I mean, 20? I mean, they're not old men. They're young. I mean, Jesus chooses them because his movement is for everybody. I mean, it's for rich and for poor and for women and men and educated and uneducated. I mean, actually, what's one of the things they say about them later on? One of the things they say about them later on is, these guys are like unschooled fishermen. I mean, it's for the peasants and the scholars. It's like a movement of anybody's, and he calls them the JV, the B team, the not good enoughs. He calls them to be his disciples, and they change the course of human history. So back to the walking on water thing. I mean, you have this boat full of anybodies, and the water's choppy, and the wind's blowing, and they're terrified because this Jesus comes across the water to them, and they think he's a ghost. And then Peter says, "Well, if it's you, then tell me to come to you." Now, why is this Peter's first response? Why is Peter's first reaction, "If it's you, then tell me to come to you"? Because he's a disciple. I mean, he's oriented his whole life, devoted his whole life to doing what he sees his rabbi doing, learning to be like his rabbi. So he sees his rabbi walking on water, and what's the first thing he wants to do? "I want to walk on water too. I want to be like my rabbi." And so Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water, but he starts to sink. And he yells out, "Jesus, save me." And the text reads that Jesus immediately caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I always assumed that Peter doubts Jesus. But Jesus isn't thinking. Who does Peter doubt? He doubts himself. he loses faith in himself that he can actually be like his rabbi. I mean, Jesus wouldn't have called him if he didn't think he could be like him. Jesus even reminds his disciples of this at one point. He says to them, wait, you didn't choose me, I chose you. The rabbi doesn't choose you unless the rabbi thinks that you can do what he does, that you can be like him. I mean, all my life I've heard people talk about believing in God. But God believes in us, in you. In me. I mean, faith in Jesus is important. But what about Jesus' faith in us? I mean, he must have faith in us because he leaves it all in the hands of these disciples. And what's the last thing Jesus says to them? He says to them, now you go and make more disciples. He leaves it all in the hands of these anybodies and they do it. I mean, what if we can actually be the kinds of people that God created us to be? What if he actually believes that? I mean, what if he actually believes that we can be the kind of people who live like Jesus lived? And the kinds of people who take action because we're aware of all of these endless opportunities around us all the time for good, for beauty, for truth. I mean, Jesus has faith that you can follow him and you can be like him. He believes it. Come to see that God believes in you. May you have faith in Jesus. But may you come to see that Jesus has faith that you can be like him. A person of love and compassion and truth. A person of forgiveness and peace and grace and joy and hope. And may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, Jesus.
So, what does being a disciple mean? Well, back in biblical times, it meant that you not only wanted to know the things that your rabbi knew, but it meant that you wanted to do the things he did, and you wanted to be the kind of person, live your life the way he did. And just like Peter wanted to walk on the water like Jesus, he wanted to do the things, he wanted to be just like Jesus. And before Jesus, being a disciple meant you had to be the best of the best of the best of the best. Because that's the only people that the rabbis would choose. But that all changed with Jesus. Because Jesus chose everyone as his disciples. He chose all of us to be his followers because he has faith that we can be just like him. And so being a disciple of Jesus, yes, part of it means coming to church. Part of it means reading the Bible because those are the things that Jesus did. Jesus spent most of his adolescence learning the scriptures and worshiping his Father, but that is only part of being a disciple. It's also, the major part of being a disciple means following so close in Jesus' footsteps that at the end of the day we're covered in his dust. Maybe we can't heal the blind or bring someone back from the dead, but we can act the way he acted. We can think the way he thought. We can care for others and treat people the way that he would treat them. And essentially, if we continue doing this, we convert ourselves into his image, which is pretty much the whole goal of being a disciple of Jesus. But choosing the right thing and telling others about Jesus, even that is not still everything about being a disciple. Because let's face it, Jesus didn't spend all of his time in the temples. He spent most of his time outside. He was healing people, forgiving. He was feeding, clothing, teaching, ministering, and he was loving people all outside the temple by doing things. He wasn't just preaching the scripture. And for the most part, he did this under wraps. He didn't do it for the publicity. He didn't preach or teach anything for the fame and fortune. He didn't do it for the onlookers, but instead for God. He did it for his Father. And that's what we should be doing. So, as disciples, we shouldn't want to live our lives like however we want. We should want to live our lives like Jesus lived his. We should use him as an example and a model of how to live our lives. And this may seem hard, but Jesus believes in us, and that's got to count for something. He knows that we have potential to be just like him. That's why he chose all of us. He knows that we can all be great disciples, and if he believes in us, if God believes in us, we should believe in ourselves. And I know it can be hard, just like Peter had trouble believing in himself, that he could walk on the water. We just have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe that we can follow in his footsteps and grow more and more like him every day, and that we can get covered in his dust, in the dust of our rabbi, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.